What is going on? Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. Glad you are here. Thanks so much for hanging out. I appreciate it. Pete Callender here. You can email Pete at thepetecallendershow.com. You can also dial in at 704-570-1110 and 1-800-WBT-1110. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's going to snow. Okay. I just feel like I needed to just get that out beforehand. You can also get the podcast. Go to WBT.com. We have the app as well, but go to the WBT.com and you can follow all of the hosts and get the podcast delivered right to your smartphone or tablet. Oh my God, it's going to snow. Sorry, it's been a while. I mean, it's like I'm a bit out of practice with the Operation Holy Cow, Everybody Panic. We are on standby. We're going to talk to Jim Cantore. I got to know what the mood is. So that's going to happen. We shall see. Look, I'm not one who overblows the importance of bad weather, but I do recognize that when bad weather breaks out, we break in or something. Yeah, no, we'll totally. Yeah, well, I'll be here. I'll be on standby or sit by, whatever you want. I'll be I'll be waiting for the storm to arrive, and if it does, I'll be telling you that it's here. And that it is snowing, or usually in the case, I will say it was one of the nice things about going up to the mountains for about 8 years on sabbatical was there's not a lot of the ice stupidness that Charlotte gets. Yeah, that's it's generally snow up in the mountains. It's just snow. And it's a lot easier to deal with when it's just snow versus like the changing over of the ice and the freezing rain and ooh, it's snowing. And then it's like raining on top of it. And then it's like one big, you know, 1-inch thick of ice, sheet of ice over everything. It's just not good. And by the way, no, you cannot drive in that. I know. Look, as somebody who comes from originally the Northland up there, I grew up on Long Island. I remember snowing, and I mean, heck, I learned the first time I drove was in snow because I got my license or permit in December. And so I learned to drive, and the first thing we did was work on skids. So, like, I get it. There's this idea that I could drive in snow and all this, except Charlotte doesn't get really snow. It's rare. Sometimes we do. But usually it's that ridiculous ice. It's like freezing rain. It starts off as snow, turns to freezing rain, and then the sun goes down and it just turns to ice. And then it's just ice. And you can't drive on ice, people. Unless you're a Zamboni. And even then, they go very slow. So, you know, it's usually, okay, it's generally people, it's Buffalo. It's the people from Buffalo. It's like half the city lives in Charlotte now, and they're all like, oh, I could totally drive in the snow. It's like, that's snow. You guys in Buffalo got snow, and it's different than the ice that comes through here. And so we are on sit-by waiting for the storm to arrive. The calm before the storm, if you will, maybe. So speaking of the calm in the storm, wow, Democrats seem to be taking it very well that they can't get their filibuster blow up through, huh? Or their voting rights. By the way, just let me go ahead and state this right now. No, nobody is robbing anybody else of their voting rights. Okay? Stop being hysterical morons. Okay? No one is robbing anybody of their voting rights. None of the state legislative changes that were enacted after the previous round of legislative changes, or actually court-ordered changes because of COVID, none of these state-level election-related laws rob anybody of their voting rights. If you would like to vote, you can go vote. Everybody gets to go vote. You do. And in North Carolina, you can get an absentee ballot. You just got to ask for one, and they'll send it to you. And it doesn't even matter if you have a legit excuse for voting absentee. They'll still send it to you, and you can fill it out, and you send it in. Now, there are some rules on filling it out. And the rule is that you got to have witnesses see you sign it, and it's you. So you got to prove that it's you. That's the rule. Oh, and you have to send it in before the election. That's the rule. And I think those are okay rules. Seriously, I think it's okay. I think we should probably make sure that if we're going to get, you know, send you a ballot, that it should be you casting the ballot. And I think that it should arrive, you know, before the election day. Those are eminently logical, rational, reasonable rules. And when you stand up and start screaming hysterically, arms waving in the air like a crazy person, that you're not going to be allowed to vote because I'm not really sure why, actually. Because what, you have to show a voter ID? We don't even have to show voter ID yet, because you guys keep suing over that, even though it's supported by more than half the country. So, no, you're just, you make yourselves look silly. All right, here you go. This is, well, do I have time? Yeah, I have time. I'm going to play it. Let me see. This is Don Lemon from CNN last night.
So, the president admitting defeat.
Defeat.
Because the GOP won't protect the vote. I mean, this is really, it's mainly about the GOP, because you can't get one.
No.
Or two.
No.
It's usually bipartisan. But you can't get one or two.
No.
Even a couple?
No.
Nope.
Dude, you can't even get all the Democrats. Before you even start going after some of the Republicans, how about you get all the Democrats? You can't even get all Democrats. The only bipartisan support on the issue of nationalizing the elections, because that's what the Democrats are trying to do, is to nationalize elections. Not just like in messaging and campaigning and stuff and candidacies. They're talking about nationalizing elections like by rules. That's what they're trying to do. Blowing up the entire election system in every one of the 50 states. This is a radical transformation of the relationship between the federal and state governments. It's a rewrite. That's what they're trying to do. But they're calling it voting rights because they think you're stupid. Seriously, they think you're stupid. They think, or you don't care. And look, a lot of people on the left do not care. A lot of people on the left believe that if it gives them the advantage, they will adopt whatever rules they need to do so. And it doesn't matter. Federalism be damned. The republic be damned. It doesn't matter. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. 99.3 back on. Maintenance is done. You can also catch us on WBT.com and the WBT app. It is free. Put it onto your phone. And then it's basically like it's like a radio, actually. Yeah, it's like a, remember the old transistor radios? You used to walk around with them. I know, it's a phone. It's so much more now, but it's very much like the old transistor. I used to have one of those. It's a little pocket radio. It was great. Anyway, oh my God, it's going to snow. All right, so, I don't feel like, am I inducing enough panic with that? I feel like I'm leaving it a little short on the panic and fear promulgation on this front. I do actually have to go to the grocery store after the show is over, not to get any bread or milk or anything. I got to get some vegetables. So I don't think there's a run on frozen vegetables. It's not that I hate shopping. It's that I hate the people that are in the building as I shop, really. That's otherwise, like, if it was like empty, it would be a fantastic experience, I think. I would have no problem with shopping. It's just, you know, navigating the aisles with other human beings. That's the real downer for me. But I will brave the elements after the program. So, anyway, I've got the Don Lemon audio that I stopped here. So Don Lemon is very perplexed as to why this overhaul of all the elections can't possibly get one single Republican on board. Now, why would you need a single Republican on board? You actually would need two. Yes, very good. Math is hard, apparently, when talking about the Senate in a 50-50 split scenario. I don't know why. It seems like the math becomes very easy at that point, but apparently it's way more difficult now. So when you have a Senate that's 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans, assuming that everybody votes along party lines, you've got the vice president who casts the deciding vote. So Democrats have a sort of plus one majority. And so they want to just dismantle as much of the infrastructure of our government as possible, right? They want to just tear as much of it down as quickly as possible in order to entrench themselves in power. Because they see what's coming, they know what's coming, and it's going to be a red wave, as is historically the case. So they're racing against this clock. So you would think that they would know that they need 50 votes to do anything, but they can't get 50 votes because they don't even have a majority, or they don't even have all the support of the Democrats. So Don Lemon asking, well, why can't we get any Republicans? You can't even get all Democrats on board with your stupid bill, okay? So, and by the way, I've been following this bill since they first ran it as House Bill or House Resolution 1. You know, I know the details of the bill. It's trash. It is absolute garbage. It is a fundamental remaking of our election system. And in order to get this thing rammed through, Democrats now want to blow up and have been arguing to blow up the filibuster, which, by the way, the Democrat candidate for U.S. Senate, Sherry Beasley, first being against it, now she's for it. She's for blowing up the filibuster. And it doesn't matter to me if she wants to only restrict it to this one thing. Like, I only want to blow up the filibuster on this one particular piece of legislation. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And this is how slippery slopes work. When you start, when you start down that path, then your opponents get to use it too. Just like what happened with the judges. You guys started all of that. And Mitch McConnell finished it. Cocaine Mitch, he finished it for you. So if you would like more of that to happen, this is the thing I don't understand either. Why would you pursue this course of action knowing that the Republicans are well positioned to pick up seats? And they may actually have, they could get close. Get this, the Republicans could actually get close. I've seen some analysis that says they could even score 60 Senate races in this election cycle. They could end up with 60 U.S. senators. So then they wouldn't even need to worry about your filibustering, because Democrats are totally going to use the filibuster. How do I know this? Because they used it last night. Last night they did it. Among all of this talk about how the filibuster is some Jim Crow racisty BS, they did it last night. Yeah. Well, you'll be hard-pressed to find any media outlets reporting this as a filibuster, but that's what happened. They could not get, so this is about that pipeline, that oil pipeline, not the one that Biden shut down in America, but the one that he's allowing the Russians to do, right? Because he's a Russian asset. I think I'm doing that right. That's the standard, right? If you do anything the Russians like, then you're the Russian asset. You're Putin's puppet, right? I think that's how that works. Anyway, the U.S. Senate failed to pass a bill to slap sanctions on Russia's Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline. This bill was sponsored by Ted Cruz. Democrats unveiled their own legislation. The tally was 55 in favor and 44 against the bill. So Ted Cruz got 55 votes in favor of his sanctions bill, and it didn't pass. You know why? Because according to, what is this, Reuters, the bill needed 60 votes to pass. Now, they don't say why it needed 60 votes to pass, but you and I both know that the bill needed 60 votes to pass because the Democrats filibustered it, requiring 60 votes to get through. He came up five short. He got more support for this sanctions bill than Biden's got and Democrats got for their election overhaul bill, for their nationalization of our elections. But you don't hear this bill being, you know, lamented about, oh, minority rules and how, you know, the majority went one direction and we still can't get stuff passed. That's exactly what happened here, though. But you don't see that being reported like that.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought me some corn for popping.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's going to snow.
Let it snow.
All right, so I want to welcome to the program now is Jim Cantore with the Weather Channel. And you know it's bad when he shows up in your state or your city. That's what I've heard. Hello, Jim, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, I'm good, but I haven't shown up in your state yet.
Oh, there were reported sightings of you in Boone. Did you know this?
All I know is there's a lot of bald Italian guys out there. So it happens, bro. It happens.
So I got to ask, like, is that, Is that on your mind? Like, you must be aware that people, like, there's like a, I guess there's sort of like a warning index or something. Like, people know to take the threat seriously if you come to town. Do you know, you are aware of this, right?
I'm very aware of it. And it's kind of like one of those things where, I mean, the Weather Channel knows that, you know, when the game's on the line, I want the ball.
Right.
So if that's kind of how it shapes up in terms of coverage, great. The problem is I can't be everywhere. I mean, you know, Atlanta's in play, Nashville's in play, you know, Greenville, Spartan, the I-85 corridor, very much in play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, holy smoke. There's too many places to be for this one.
So one of the things, and I spent a bit of time up in the mountains of Western North Carolina, about 8 years up there, and now back in Charlotte. And but I used to work in Charlotte for over a decade prior. So, like, I recognize the difference. Like, these storms that come through up in the mountains, they're different than down here in the Piedmont. And so I've described it. I mean, you get some snow, but then it usually freezes. It turns into the freezing rain, and it's way worse than just snow that you get up in the mountains. At least that's what that's been my experience. Is it your? Am I off base on that? What do you think? Or and also,
no, I mean,
is that what we expect?
Because you're up in elevation, so yeah. You know, you get the cold air locked in. But what the problem is you have shallow cold air, you know, down the mountains through the Piedmont and in the mid, you know, mid country, if you will, and then the warm air comes over the top of that. So the forecast challenge is how much of that warm air is going to erode the cold layer. Cold layer is always going to be more dense, so it's going to win out in a situation like this. And that's why, you know, we're worried about freezing rain and ice. But for so many from, you know, Atlanta up through the I-85 corridor, you're going to have multiple precipitation types. You know, you're going to go snow to sleet to freezing rain, back to snow. I mean, it's just going to be a hell of a ride, man. And the thing that may save you a little bit is, and I'm not sure how much time you spend in the snow and sleet. You know, I mean, if you can put that kind of coating down under the ground and then the freezing rain over the top of that, that may help a little bit. But if it just goes right over the freezing rain and there's not much of a coating, I mean, it's going to be a disaster out there. Either way, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Don't go out on Sunday. That's my best advice to you.
Right, because the freezing, and this is the storm system is going to arrive. I guess we're still on track to, we're looking at sometime overnight. And so that's generally not great because it's colder at night, right? So you're going to get more likely to get the bad stuff.
I don't even think night or day matters. It's really more of a fact that how much of that cold air is wedged down in place. You know, and also what's the track of the low? That could also vary things. In other words, that could bring a major ice storm closer to Charlotte or down toward Columbia in South Carolina. So there's a lot of things certainly in play here that we have to continue to watch. But the good news is for us, the best advertising is the fact that when people wake up in the South on Sunday morning, there should be a pretty widespread canopy of snow and sleet and even some freezing rain coming down in a lot of places.
Hmm. Of course, then obviously is the issue with the power lines, tree limbs taking out power lines, and you got problems with that, which is why, like, I would rather have all the snow than even just a little bit of the ice.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if we can get sleet out of this more than snow, or I'm sorry, more than freezing rain, then we do a lot better off with the power outage potential here. But, you know, somewhere in there, it's going to be heavy, and it's going to be a fine line, I think, between, you know, who gets most of the ice, who gets sleet, and then, of course, you know, back in Appalachia, we're talking about anywhere from 12 to maybe 16 inches of snow, and maybe more, maybe an overachiever in there, too.
Well, yeah, and one of the things I learned there, too, these microclimate forecasts is huge, because one side of the mountain, one hollow you're on or in, it makes all the difference. Like, you could be just right around the corner on the other side of the mountain and you're buried and the other side is fine.
Right. So if you're on the upslope side, which will be, you know, Western North Carolina, you're going to do very well with the snow.
Yeah.
If you're down in the Cumberland Valley on the other side, then you're, you know, going to be downsloped a little bit more. But you may deal with rain, going to freezing rain, changing over to snow with the upper part of the storm system that comes across. So there's all sorts of caveats and forecast holes out there to manage through.
So do you know where you're going? Are you going to North Carolina? Are you coming to North Carolina?
Right now my assignment is Asheville. I'm going to play the snow part of this.
Oh, there you go.
maybe,
and they got a lot of breweries.
Thunder snow on Sunday morning toward noon, maybe late morning. Mm-hmm. It would not be out of the question at all.
Okay.
Very dynamic storm here. Very dynamic storm.
So, all right. So when you say dynamic storm, what does that mean? Is that a,
what I mean is you're going to have a very strong amount of moisture being forced over that cold air damming or that cold air that's coming down on the east side of Appalachia. So, you know, the air is going to be lifted pretty quickly. And depending on where we get this, what we call forcing maximized, you can get some thunder and lightning out of this. And that doesn't mean it's just going to be with the snow. We could have it with the sleet. We get thunder sleet. We get thunder freezing rain. You name it. We could have it all.
Well, I think I'm trying to think back. I think Charlotte got a thunder snow probably 15 years ago, and it was like in April or something, and it dumped somewhere in the neighborhood of almost 2 feet, I want to say. It was, it was a terrible storm. But
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah,
probably out of nowhere. Storm on all accounts for any month.
Yeah. So would you rather cover the snowstorms or hurricanes, just out of curiosity?
Well, typically, the snow events don't cause everybody to lose everything they have.
True.
You know, and honestly, after 35 years of this, bro, I'm getting sick of seeing people go through it.
Yeah.
The heartache, you know, and I know it's still going to happen long after I'm gone, but it's a little funner, if you will, in the snow events. Do I want anyone to lose power? No. Do I want people to, you know, get buried in the snow where they can't get out? No. But typically, you know, there's a little bit of a fun factor in the snow versus the hurricanes.
That's
sure.
True. Yeah, no, that's true. That's kind of a setup question. I acknowledge it. Now, I would be remiss if I did not also take this opportunity to ask you a question. So, like, over the years, I've talked to a lot of your colleagues over on the radio side at the Weather Channel. And
right.
One of the guys I talked to, like, every day when I was in Asheville was Mark Thibodeau. And I gave
Mark's
him an
great.
Idea. Yeah, Mark's great. I love Mark. I gave him an idea during the equinoxes, right? You got two of them per year. I said, you can take those black and white cookies, you know, the ones half white, half chocolate, you know, and you market those as Thibodeau's, as cookies. And you guys at the Weather Channel, like, you could take this idea. Tibbs never took the idea. He never ran with it. So I offer it to you if you would like it. And it could be like your retirement, you know, deal where you, like, come up with this whole idea and it's called the Cantori cookie. Just think about it. You don't have to decide right now. I just, you know, but I don't think Tibbs is using it.
You may have to give me something on paper, bro. We'll have to have our agents talk to each other, you know, all that good stuff with a small print.
Yes, fair enough. Fair enough. Jim Cantori, I do appreciate it. Stay safe. Safe travels to you. Enjoy your time in North Carolina if you do arrive here. Best of luck to you. Thanks for your time today, sir.
Oh, always, man. Be safe, everybody. Just stay home on Sunday, please. Do me that favor.
All right, so it wasn't he didn't exactly accept the idea of the Cantori cookie, but he was a lot more receptive to it than some of the other Weather Channel folks I have run this idea past over the last decade. Okay, this, like, I don't understand. So, all right, some just real quick background on this. I used to do daily live weather hits with Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel, and over the years, Tibbs and I got to be pretty good friends. That's what his friends call him, Tibbs. So, see, now what I call him that if I wasn't his friend? See that? It's a piece of evidence in my case. Okay, so I said when it was the equinox, you know, the equinox is the equal day, where are the days of equal sun and nighttime, right? Daytime and nighttime. It's 12 hours each. It happens twice a year. And I said to Tibbs, hey, Tibbs, I say, how about we make this a holiday? And we can have some, like, this is, you know, Hallmark is all about creating holidays where none exist, right? So why can't the Weather Channel do it? You've got this platform, and so you can go and push this out via the Weather Channel platform to turn this into its own holiday. And I even gave him, like, the official cookie of the day, which are those cookies that are half white, half chocolate. Half white, is it white chocolate? Is it even cold chocolate if it's vanilla? Anyway, so it's the white and browns or white and blacks or whatever they call them, black and whites. Those, you know, the big round cookies, and they're split halfway with the different flavor icing on top. And that's the official cookie. But here's the thing. marketing. You market it. You market the cookie as Thibodeau's. That's what they would be called. You name the cookie the Thibodeau. And it's the Equinox cookie. And then you just sit back and watch the money pour in. But I said, you got to start with, because we don't have a budget here. So we're going to do some guerrilla marketing. And so what you need to do is just go to the store, buy a whole bunch of these Thibodeaus, and bring them into the Weather Channel and get them to the TV people. Because then they'll start eating them on TV. And you can see, oh, look at that. It's Equinox cookie. Oh, these are Thibodeaus. Like, you could do this whole thing just by leaving a bunch of these cookies in the break room. And then it just launches, it goes viral, and it becomes a whole thing. And then again, sit back and collect the checks, right? That I thought it was a pretty good idea too. I did. I thought it was a really good idea. And it, but I like, I can't do this lift. I don't work at the Weather Channel, so I gave it to Tibbs. And for years, every Equinox, I would say, hey, where do you stand on the Thibodeau cookie thing? Where are we with that? And he never did anything with it. So then I started shopping the idea around. I shopped it over to his one of his fill-in replacements one day, Todd Boric from the Weather Channel. I floated it to him. Hey, you know, you could call them the Boric. Now, admittedly, it's not as appetizing of a name for a cookie as the Thibodeau. A Thibodeau sounds kind of classy, right? The Thibodeau sounds, I don't know, like a French pastry family kind of a cookie, right? He didn't do anything with it either. Todd Boric. He didn't do anything either. So then Tibbs tells me one day he's going to be doing some fill-in work on TV over the weekend. And I was like, dude, this is your chance. Like, you need to get in with the TV people, because he's on the radio side. Like, you need to get in on the TV side and you need to make this happen. And then he didn't. So then I shopped it over to Ray Stajic. I said, you could call the cookies the Stajics. But again, it's not as appetizing of a name. Maybe the Rays, you could call it the Rays or something. Yeah. Ken Boone. I think I even shopped it to Doug Llewellyn. I'm like, nobody wanted. So this was my shot with Cantori at the end there. The Cantori cookie. I mean, that could work. I don't feel like I did a good elevator pitch, though. I don't think he's on board with it. He said his people would contact my people, and I don't even have people. So I think the idea is dead. Oh, well. All right. Now I'll just focus all of my efforts on Votainer. Okay. I'm moving on from the Thibodeau cookie or the Cantori cookie. But I don't even want any money for it. I'm not even asking for any kind of like residuals or something. Because I am a giver. This is what I do. I give. So I give him this idea and nobody's done anything with it. So look, if they don't want it, I'm just not going to keep giving it. So I'm going to focus all my efforts on Votainer. Getting Votainer to be a word that is now used instead of top vote getter, which is a silly term. It's a mouthful. It's terrible. It's awkward. I hate it. And so we opened it up and we had some suggestions years ago, and a caller suggested that we go with the name Votainer, and I like it. So that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to make fetch happen. Okay. So now all that being said, we're going to go back to Don Lemon, because Don Lemon can't do math. Ooh, maybe I should do a new segment. Don Lemon does math. No, I shouldn't do that, because I've been told I shouldn't mock people. Yeah. At the end of the program yesterday, we had a guy named Jackie Robinson. I was going to say Jack something else, but yeah, he called in and he said that, Ryan, did you detect that he was a bad faith troll caller? Did you detect that when he called in?
I did use your little mantra that you've used with me before about if the caller calls in, they're supposed to make you look good.
That's Rush Limbaugh's edict, not edict, but his philosophy on callers. And it's true.
You didn't tell me it was Rush. You told me it was yours.
No, I didn't say that. This is Limbaugh's. Limbaugh's line was always that the job of the caller is to make the host look good. No matter how that happens, it's fine. It could be like if it's somebody that's like, hey, you know, Rush, you did a great segment, or, you know, I followed some of your advice, or I read your book or whatever. Or, hey, here's a good joke. Here's a good setup for a joke or whatever. Or I'm an idiot, beat me up. And that's the role that Jack played yesterday. So I do appreciate Jack calling in multiple times to get on the air. It did seem, I got the impression, and I guess I wasn't alone, but I got the impression that he really carries the torch for Vince, though. I felt like I may have been the rebound, you know? You get my drift? I feel like he really wanted to attack Vince, but couldn't get through with Vince or something. And so he came after me. I was just, you know, a target of convenience, because the stuff he was saying, it didn't really make a lot of sense. But it wasn't just me that heard it this way. Chris sent me an email yesterday after the show, and he said, I could be wrong, but I believe that last caller, Jack Robinson, right, who is very clever with his ability to manipulate subjects in conversations, is the same gentleman that called Vince back on January 6th and called the rioters terrorists. So I said, oh, well, that does make some bit of sense then, because he kept wanting to attack Vince. And I was like, well, I mean, if you want to argue with Vince, then you should call Vince's show, because I don't know everything that Vince has said. And Vince can defend himself perfectly well. So I don't need you. Now, if you would like to criticize me for something I had said, well, that's fine, too. Of course, then he didn't really have examples, except that he didn't like that I called Francis Collins funny sounding. And then he made fun of me, saying he didn't like the way my voice sounded, which is fine. That he's not the first person that has said that either. But I don't care. That's the funny thing. Like, people who say these things, they're like, I guess they suspect that, like, it's going to hurt my feelings. But, like, I don't care. Like, I would have to care what your opinion is about anything, Jack, for me to care what your opinion is of me. So, and considering I don't care what you have to say about anything prior, then I'm not going to care about your opinion of my voice. But luckily enough for Jack, there are two knobs on the dial that he can adjust. I will not even quote George Carlin on the knobs and the uncomfortability there.